out of a target of 240. BBC News.
With Caroline Nichols.
Television gets a lot wrong about our legal system.
You have to justify every level of force that you use. Putting handcuffs on someone is a level of force.
You might not have ever thought about the people working inside it.
This is an extremely collegiate profession, but it can be an unbelievably lonely job.
You may not think about justice in the same way again.
Decisions that are made right at the very beginning of a case can really impact people's lives.
You do not have to say anything. With me, Joanna Hardy-Siskind.
I couldn't quite believe that this was our criminal justice system.
Next Monday to Friday afternoon at 1:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
In three quarters of an hour, Robbie Carlin and Louisa Buck join Tom Sutliff in the Front Row studio to review the fourth Bridget Jones film, Mad About the Boy, starring Renee Zellweger. But now on Radio 4, brand new sketch comedy from the internet's funniest comedians. It's POV.
Who am I? Delia Smith?
If only, my liege.
It's just one of those names, you know.
Whatever you're gonna say to me now, I've heard it all before.
So the dog's the assassin?
Yes, it is. You're a thoughtful person.
My butler always removes my shoes before my naps.
Tell me you didn't countenance it.
I might have countenanced it a bit, mate.
The game's gone.
I just love gambling and drinking. Did I cry?
POV, a sketch show.
I can't believe this. Are we really gonna do this?
Come on, Sean, it's Halloween. It's the perfect time to explore one of these houses.
Oh, I guess you're right, but it looks so scary. Garden overflowing, curtains billowing in the wind. I'm pretty sure that's a dead crow up there on the roof.
Oh, yeah, and look at all that piled up post. Cobwebs everywhere.
Welcome to this house of horrors. Nowhere on earth is more terrifying, more blood-curdling than this. The house of a single man in his 30s.
It's so scary.
Oh, and the smell.
Links Africa.
Behold, the bedroom, if you can call it that.
But it's just...
Yes. A single mattress on the floor.
Oh, it's so depressing.
Is that a black and white canvas print of Paris on the wall?
My landlord put it up.
Why is there a roll of tissues beside the mattress?
I think you know exactly what that's for, my dear. And now, to the kitchen.
What's in that fridge?
A single onion.
Where's the sink?
It's been under those dishes since March 2012. Something lives there now.
Oh, why do you only have one set of everything?
Yeah, one spoon, one fork, one plate.
Well, why would I need more than one? Who am I? Delia Smith?
Okay, what about the bathroom?
Oh, I'm most scared of the bathroom.
Enter if you dare. Here, look at this 5-in-1 shower gel. It's called Wash Bastard.
Oh, body wash, shampoo, conditioner. What are the other two?
One of them is soy sauce. And the other? Dark soy sauce.
Where's your towel?
You're standing on it. It came with the house.
Oh, that was terrifying. What should we see next?
Something even scarier.
Okay, let's look up how much this house costs.
Oh, babe, can I get that extra pillow?
Sure. Anything for thou, my beautiful maiden.
Oh, beautiful maiden, am I? Well, if my lord doth say so.
I doth, my lady.
My lady? If only, my liege. I'm just a horrible trollop, scarred and withered from the pox.
Wait, what?
I've been getting really into history podcasts. Can we keep going? I'm actually kind of into this. Oh, okay.
Well, even though our stations in life are different, I find I cannot resist your raw sexual magnetism.
But my lord, I'm hideous! I'm a woman of easy virtue, covered in excrement from the communal latrine.
Oh.
Sire, you know I lost my father last year when you hanged him after he stole a sack of grain. And my stupid mother was burned as a witch after saying the moon looked nice one time. I am destitute. My lord, would you wed me?
But I killed your dad.
Sam, please.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, sure.
Say no and call me a worthless wench.
Me, I don't want to do that.
Please. I can only get into it if it's historically accurate.
Okay, okay. No, you worthless wench.
Sire, please, I beg you. I would bear you hundreds of sons. And not to mention you are so handsome and experienced in the ways of lovemaking.
Okay, yeah, now we're talking. Yes, I have bedded many women, which means I know how to give you the utmost pleasure.
Oh, yes, my lord, and that you are riddled with syphilis.
I'm simply covered in sores from head to toe.
Sire, I cannot wait for the wedding. Take me now.
Gladly, young maiden. But afterwards, I shall lose all respect for you. You will be shamed and disowned by your community, branded with the mark of the harlot, and forced to live as a vagabond. Then I will marry your sister.
Oh, yeah. That really did it for me.
Hiya, Denise. Hi. I heard you talking to Lucy there about getting fringe. I'm Michelle, the fringe counsellor. Yeah, well, come here to me now. Do you remember the last time you had a fringe? Do you? Yeah, how did that work out? Whatever you're going to say to me now, I've heard it all before. Are you prepared to wash your fringe separately every day? What about the last time you had a fringe? Oh yeah, saw the pictures on Instagram, even the old ones on Facebook. Did you enjoy growing that out? Have you thought about if it rains? How do you feel about trying to dry that fringe with a hand dryer in a public toilet? I didn't want to do this to you, Denise, but are we going to ignore the giant cows like you have? And is that a natural kink in your hair I see? How are you going to deal with a fringe? Listen to me now. It takes 3,547 clips to grow out a fringe. And that's on straight hair. Something you don't have. Now, give me that. You'll get it back. You'll get it back. But I'm deleting all of the pictures you took yourself with the fringe filter. Yeah, that's nonsense. Let me have a look at this now. Oh yeah, the gallery. Here we go. A picture of Claudia Wilkman with a fringe. Ah, yeah. The gateway to it all. Now, listen to me now. Look at me. Look at me in the eyes. Do you think if you get a fringe, you're going to look like Claudia Winkleman? You're going to be more like Wee Willie Winky. Afraid to go to sleep at night for fear of waking up with a flat fringe. Okay. Oh, ah, you're getting up. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to stop you. But listen to me now, Denise. If you walk through these doors in a few weeks' time, with a wonky feather fringe you did yourself after a bottle of Prosecco with the kitchen scissors, I'll be here. I'll help you pick up the pieces. I won't be saying I told you so, right? I'm here to help. That's it, let it out. We got you. We saved it in the nick of time. Yeah, that could have been bad. I know, yeah. We'll laugh about this someday. Yeah, yeah. That's it, you're grand, yeah. Delete his number as well.
With me now is former professional footballer turned current pundit Ian Fiveankles.
Ian Fiveankles.
Ian, it's not often we cover other leagues, but there was a monumental clash at the top of the nursery rhymes premier tonight that cannot be ignored.
Yep, huge game, a real six-pointer. Three Little Pigs FC, a tenacious side. In fact, little does them an injustice. They may be light in midfield, but their passion knows no bounds.
Now, their first real test this season was, of course, Big Bad Wolf Wanderer.
Oh, yeah. Top world-class outfit. People say he's a one-man team, and that's because he is. But look, that didn't stop Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo, did it?
Now, the Pigs, they started the game on shaky ground. You didn't like the way they were set up, did you?
No. Defensively, they were poor. They've built their house out of straw there.
Classic football metaphor.
Yeah, it's not a metaphor.
Right.
I don't know what they were thinking. They haven't done their homework, because that's playing right into the Wolf's strength, isn't it? He's got a huge engine on him, he's got a world-class pair of lungs, and, yeah, basically, he's attacked straight away.
He's huffed, he's puffed, he's blown their house right down.
Yeah, in modern parlance, that's called gegenpressing. The Wolf's clearly been inspired by Jurgen Klopp, and the Pigs had no chance.
Then, straight after that early setback, the Pigs' manager's got to work, and he's got them rebuilding. But, Ian, you'd argue they still weren't solid enough.
I don't know what the gaffer's thinking there. I mean, I know he's new to the club, but no excuses. He's seen the danger, he knows the Wolf's strength up top, and he's chosen sticks? Nah. The defence needed a complete tactical rethink, but what they've done there is they've just put a square peg in a round hole. It's men against boys. It's worse than that. It's Wolves against Pigs.
I have to say, fair play to the Wolf. All credit to him for keeping up the intensity.
Yeah, he stuck to the game plan well, but what else do you expect from an arch predator?
But the second half was a different story, Ian. The Pigs have gone in for their half-time oranges and no doubt some swill, and they've brought a new defensive plan to the game to minimise conceding any further.
Yes, Anthony. Bricks. I don't know if it's a foreign tactic the gaffer's picked up on the continent, but it's worked a treat here. The Wolf had no answers. He's run out of puff, and they've gone up the other end, and they've scored three unanswered goals.
Can we criticise the Wolf's one-dimensional approach?
We can, yeah. If you want to compete at the top highest level, you do need to unlock every defence. I would expect him to rebuild in January.
Well, thank you, Ian. 3-2, it's finished.
Get one of them horses from Humpty Dumpty on loan to trample it down.
Right, Ian, yes.
Or send Incy Wincy Spider in through a crack in the windowpane to bite them all to death.
Okay.
You've got to be ruthless in this league, haven't
you? Thank you, Ian. After the break, game abandoned between three blind mice and farmers' wives after violence erupts on the field.
You can clearly see in the replay she's holding a carving knife. VAR does its job there, and a good thing, because that's despicable. We don't want to see that in our game at all.
The game's gone, Ian.
Game's gone.
People think it's easy being wealthy, but it's really not. Just last week, my private jet was in the shop after I asked my pilot to make an emergency landing on Mount Rushmore because I wanted to have a foursome with a few ex-presidents. Thomas Jefferson was not invited, of course, but it turned out they were just rocks, not actual men. So I didn't get my foursome, and also my jet was ruined after a wing slammed into Theodore Roosevelt's mustache. Talk about a mustache ride. But I had to get to Brentwood for my fundraiser for Tiny Poodles of Beverly Hills. So I said to my assistant, book me on something else. So she books me on this plane that comes full of other people. I said, what fun, a party in the sky. To get in, you have to go through all of these lines in a building that is a little smaller than my smallest pied-à-terre, called an airport. At one point, they make you take off your shoes and put them in these little bins. I said, is it nap time? My butler always removes my shoes before my naps. But they said, no, you have to take them off yourself. I said, but how will I get them back on? I don't know how to tie my own shoes. Then they give you a little pat down. I said, feel free to go under the pants. I might be hiding something fun in there. Once you get on the plane, they sit you in these chairs right up front. It's called first class. And then they bring you little cups of water before the show begins, which is the most delightful parade of pours you've ever seen, where all of the people sitting in the back of the plane walk by and do a little fashion show for you. It was glorious. Looks I had never seen by designers I had never heard of. Names like George and Skechers and H&M, which is maybe some kind of kinky thing. And all of the models had the most perfect little scowls that would put Naomi Campbell to shame. It rivaled Paris Fashion Week, if Paris Fashion Week took place under a bridge in Cleveland. Then the sky waitress stopped by to offer me some warm nuts. I said, yes, please, I'll have them fresh, carved directly off the man. She looked confused, and then she brought me the tiniest little bowl of nuts I had ever seen. I said, ah, well, I was hoping for Mount Rushmore size, but these will have to do. Then we landed and everyone clapped. I assumed they were clapping for me, so I did a bow, and then I did a little catwalk of my own, where I did a runway walk to the poor section of the plane while throwing $100 bills into the air. It was so much more fun than a foursome with dead presidents. But it's still very hard being wealthy. For my next trip, I'm thinking Toledo.
Oh, morning.
Morning, mate.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, not too bad. What about yourself?
Oof, rough one.
Oh, did you go out?
Nah, my wife left me.
Oh. right?
Yep.
She just had enough of my gambling and drinking, so...
Really sorry to hear that, mate.
And because of the aforementioned gambling and drinking, I'm probably not going to be able to see the kids anymore. Well, that's a bloody nightmare.
Yeah, I can imagine. Nightmare.
But you had a good one, yeah?
I mean, yeah, it was decent.
I just love gambling and drinking. Is that a crime? You do it, yeah?
Not really.
Mate, you've got to get into it. It is so good. We could do it this weekend if you fancy.
This weekend? Oh, I'm busy. Oh, that's annoying.
Boring! You sound like my wife. Oh, ex-wife.
We still on for our meeting at 10?
Should be, yeah. Steph, we still meeting at 10?
Yeah, unless my gambling and drinking overruns.
Oh, don't even get me started. You know my wife left me this weekend.
My partner literally threw me out of the flat this morning.
Oh, classic gambling and drinking. So good. You know Brian doesn't do it.
Oh, boring.
You really ought to get into it, mate. It's kind of the culture here. Oh, look, busy as a boss.
Hey, guys. Brian, is it?
Yep, that's me. Sorry we've not had a proper chat yet. How are you settling in?
Really great, thank you. Thank you for asking. The team's great, and yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
I'm going to cut to the chase here, right? I've been getting a few complaints from some of the other team members. No one's smelling alcohol in your breath, you're turning up on time every day, and you've still got your watch, for Christ's sake.
Sorry?
How many times have you been to the casino this week?
None times.
None?! Jesus, it's worse than I thought. Listen, I'm only going to say this once, because I like you. You really need to start gambling and drinking, or you will not survive here. Okay? We like risk takers and people who bloody love a party. Clear?
Yeah.
Yep, clear. Thank you. Sorry.
Good.
You're right. Yeah, all good. Cheers.
Don't worry, mate. You'll be fine. He always does that.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I really appreciate that. You've been really nice to me since I joined.
I've got 2-1. Brian loses his job next week. 2-1. Only offering it once.
Let's do shots. Shots, 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 shots.
What are you doing? Oh, I'm just putting this picture of me on social media. Let me see. Oh, gorgeous.
Thank you.
But are you actually uploading that to Threads?
Oh, shouldn't I?
Gross, no, what's wrong with you? You don't put thirst traps of yourself on Threads. People will think you're completely narcissistic and vacuous.
This is going on Instagram.
Well, and that's not narcissistic or vacuous.
Not if you add the right hashtags here. Hashtag no makeup selfie. Hashtag always wear sunscreen. Hashtag mental health awareness. Hashtag recovery. Hashtag donkey sanctuary. Post.
Okay, that's a pretty thoughtful post.
Yes, it is. You're a thoughtful person.
Thank you. Where else should I put thirst traps then?
LinkedIn?
I should put this on LinkedIn.
No, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You're wearing a bikini.
You said thirst traps were fine on LinkedIn.
Yes, thirst traps wearing a suit. You want to look so hot in a suit that people pretend they are following you for your business insights, but not so hot, still in a suit, that a creepy barrister messages you saying, I appreciate that this is probably horrendously politically incorrect, but that is a stunning picture. And then you have to go to an employment tribunal and people troll you for years and years about it on X, the everything app.
Should I post this photo on X then? Do you want to be slut-shamed?
But look, on Insta, two people have commented that I look hot. Oh, wait. Someone has also written, brave.
Oh, delete it. How awful. No, look. On Insta, they will welcome your hot bikini photo, but on X, it's a different ballgame. They'll either call you a slut, or they will think you are a porn bot.
Or a musician on OnlyFans.
Blue Sky?
Well, if you want, people won't abuse you. They'll probably just block you. Post a joke or something instead.
Mastodon?
Do you have a maths degree?
No.
Well then no, not Mastodon.
But definitely not Threads.
No!
So what should I post on Threads?
Oh, it doesn't matter. The algorithm won't let people see it anyway.
So, after years of searching, he finally accepts his one true love back where the story started, in a railway station. The end.
Wow, that was a great pitch. Great work.
Oh, thanks. I've been working on it for a while now.
You can tell. It's just so well thought through. The structure, the pacing. It's very impressive.
Gosh, I mean, thank you. You have no idea how much it means to hear you say that. I've been trying to get a meeting with you for ages.
Hey, what can I say? We're a busy company and there are lots of films and TV shows to make.
Ah, I just had one little question about your show.
Oh, yes?
Where does the hitman come into it?
I'm sorry?
The hitman. I know there must be one in there somewhere, but I think I must have missed it.
No.
there isn't a hitman. It's a hit woman? Brilliant, I love it. Switch things up. I mean, yeah, we've seen a few of those already, but it's still a bit unexpected. There isn't a hit woman either. Oh my God, a hit child? A tiny assassin who's been trained for years by a shadowy underground organization to take out the bad guys. I love it! No, there aren't any children in the story. But there is a dog, isn't there? Yes? So the dog's the assassin. Yeah, I mean, it's wacky, but I guess it could work. Change it to animation, call it something like, I don't know, muzzle flash or trigger paw. By day, he's a good boy. By night, he's a bad dog. Yeah, there could be something there. Sorry, no, there isn't any sort of assassin or hitman or trained killer animal in the show. It's a love story. Across three generations, it's about family and friendship and the human condition. Which is killing people for money?
No!
I mean, look, yeah, I love all of those things you just said, but remember, hitmen can be a very broad subject. We've had happy hitmen, sad hitmen, funny hitmen, angry hitmen, hitmen with a kid, hitmen with a dog, hitmen who are dying, hitmen who think they're dying but aren't actually dying, fake hitmen, hitmen you think are fake but actually turn out to be real hitmen, hitmen getting married, hitmen getting divorced, hitmen marrying hitmen. A hotel full of hitmen, a city full of hitmen, a world made up entirely of hitmen. And a documentary about pop music called The Hitmen, which was the result of an unfortunate misunderstanding. But I don't want to write about hitmen. And I'm not sure we have space for you here. Our market research is very clear. People love hitmen. But are hitmen even real? They are to us. And isn't that what really matters? So you won't make my show. Not unless you pop a hired killer into the story. Is there anyone else I can talk to about this? Not really. I'm the boss. So whilst I'm here, I make the decisions. Sounds like I need to hire a hitman. Well, good luck with that. Everyone knows hitmen aren't real.
Hiya! It's Sally here. Sally in HR. Is that Shady? As in Slim Shady. Do you like Eminem? Look, Sade. Well, I know we've met a couple of times, but it's just one of those names, you know? Well, glad I managed to get you on the phone. I see you've raised some concerns about not receiving an invitation to the staff away day at the beach. That is very odd. Let me have a look. I have this fancy new AI assistant on my phone. Honestly, saves so much money in comparison to having a real assistant who will only end up stressing me out and then they leave. HR Angel, how are you, love? Why wasn't Sade Belogan added to the list for the beach away day?
Hello, Sally. The list of staff invitees was collated based on accessibility needs you specified. Shall I read them out to you?
Yes, do go ahead, Angel, love. Sade, just checking for you, as I'm sure you can hear.
Sade Balogun's name seems to be in a column you titled, Check Black People Can...
Whoa, that's enough of that. Honestly, these AI things still need a lot of work. So glitchy. But since you're on the phone, Sade, random question, can you switch... Hello? Hello?
Thomas, mate, thank you for coming to chat to me.
Been a while since we were all at Hampton Court together.
Yeah, mate, I'd say we're long overdue a conversation, actually.
So how you been, man? Obviously, last time I chatted to you, all that stuff with Anne was going on.
Yeah, a few developments on that front.
Right.
Had a bit of a wobble. We've started messaging again.
Mate, I thought you weren't heeding her words.
Mate, I was heeding them not, but I literally blocked her on everything, like scrolls, letters. But she had a herald literally come round and read out her missives to me.
Tell me you didn't countenance it.
I might have countenanced it a bit, mate.
Mate!
I know, because, like, basically she knows my love language is having an heir. And that was like my red line for the relationship, and I wouldn't like countenance anything until she acknowledged that.
You need to set boundaries.
Mate, I literally did. Like, I put guards at her door with their axes crossed. I just felt bad because, like, I spoke to George Berlin, and he says, oh, she still loves me, she's crying every night.
Every night? How does he know? Is he in her bedchamber?
Do you know what I mean?
That's a violation.
And he said it's all just you, like, going around spreading shit. He's like, oh, it's Cromwell's going around spreading shit.
Well, at the end of the day, if he's an issue with me, he can say it to my face. Well,
that's what I said. I said, to be fair to the boy, Cromwell's a good boy.
Like, that's actually pissed me off. Like, I'm livid, especially after how he snaked you.
Obviously, because, like, loyalty is, like, a big thing for me. And I feel like I made him the Viscount of Rochford, and he's thrown it back in my face by, like, sleeping with the Queen.
Not on.
Which is why I'm in this whole mess with Anne. Because it's like, ultimately, I love the girl, but she has cast spells on me and cheated on me with her own brother.
So what are you going to do?
Honestly, mate, if I could see a way back with Anne, I would.
Well, you have sentenced her to be beheaded.
Well, that's just it, mate. Like, I can't see a way past it. Like, my hands are tied. Listen, she broke my heart, but listen, I hope we can remain friends. And, like, for me, like, this doesn't change anything that we had, like, going forward. Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, she went ahead in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I just need to go no contact for a while, I think.
Yeah, you'll be going no contact forever because she'll be dead.
Yeah, but ultimately, it's like, that's not coming from me, that's coming from her. Like, that's her choice, but honestly, like, I wish her the best.
And that's fair to you, mate.
Thus concludes our funeral service. And now to begin the eulogies. A friend of the deceased would like to say a few words.
Thank you, Father. For those who don't know me, I'm Woodford Shark, the deceased's friend, brother, and also co-host on Los Angeles' number one all-male radio show, Alt 93.2's Morning Wood.
Morning Wood.
When I heard about the passing of my co-host, Chud Shartz, I was absolutely devastated. Chud was a beautiful soul whose larger-than-life personality was matched only by his giving spirit.
Money, please!
Chud and I, we spent nearly every day together, playing Jimmy Eat World songs, prank-calling hospitals with a girl voice, and of course, Chud's signature Man on the Street segment where he asks women their body count, and no matter what number she says, he is disrespectful.
Ah, you jerk!
Oh, hey lady, that hurt!
You all should take comfort in the fact that Chud died doing what he loved, hosting a wet t-shirt contest on too much Adderall. You see, when the contest was over, Chud went to motorboat the winner, as is tradition. But like Icarus, he motorboated far too close to the sun. The Adderall made him motorboat too fast, and the t-shirt was too wet. Sorry. The t-shirt was too wet. And Chud waterboarded himself to death.
I can't breathe.
Sorry. So sorry. I'm getting emotional.
Gay?
Chode's memory lives on in those he loves. He is survived by his beautiful wife, Jessica.
Hugga, hugga. Aye, aye, aye. Awooga.
His two twin girls.
Hold on. There's two.
And of course, the Bonermobile.
Bonermobile, floor it!
Chud, I will remember you forever. I am gutted by this loss. I honestly don't know how I'll go on without you. Now I hope you'll all join me in a moment of silent, but deadly. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Woody, for that moving speech. I now invite you all to open your books to recite Chud's favorite hymn, 36 straight hours of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop top, he says, I'm going to win big. Choose not a life of imitation, distant cousins to the rest.
POV was written and performed by Kylie Brakeman,
Emma Doran,
The Exploding Heads,
Matt Green,
Rosie Holt,
Morten Birkenfry,
Kathy Manura,
Kelechi Okafor,
Leah Rudick,
Ali Woods,
and Ed Knight and Paddy Young. It was produced by Ed Morrish and was a Lead Mojo production for BBC Radio 4.
And POV will be back with some breaking news about the environment next Thursday evening at 6:30 here on BBC Radio 4.
On BBC Radio 4.
Why on earth I'd kept this coffee machine with me, I couldn't say. Along with a Bible, the complete works of Shakespeare, one additional book and 8 final records of biographical significance.
Stephen Mangan is washed up on a very famous desert island.
I'd had a conversation with someone recently about this exact selection of items.
And with him is every single former castaway.
I was bunking with tennis mother Judy Murray and had impressed Lawrence Dallaglio with my early attempts at basket weaving.
The Island starts next Monday at 2:45 on Radio 4. And listen to the complete series now on BBC Sounds.
After the news, we're off to Ambridge, where Linda witnesses some shocking behaviour. That's in the Arches in a couple of minutes.
BBC.